Need a team that never lets you down? Who knows how to play the game and is always on the ball? Get in touch with the team at Bunnings Trade, helping business in their trade.
Grand finals are known for special performances.
Here comes Dusty. He's shaping up for a fourth.
Searle's there. He leaves it for Buddy. Oh!
Around the body goes Chewy Joe.
From inside the centre square. Boys kick the goal.
And in the biggest week in footy, we've brought in these three dead set legends to get you ready for the grand final.
That's pretty normal for us.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, and Emma Friedman. And Emma Friedman. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends Grand Final Week Edition.
Thank you, Rebsy. I am starting to get itchy about the weekend. Another edition of Dead Set Legends with you all Grand Final Week 9 to 12 on Triple M. Joey J, Rosie and Emma. Oh, two sleeps, boys and girls. Two sleeps.
Yeah, good morning, gang. I've been through a couple of grand final weeks as a player, but I think this week might almost be my favourite, Jay-Z. Spending the week with you guys on air, we've been through a fair bit together. This is right up there, and I just hope that it finishes really strongly, like not quite like my grand final weeks as a player did, but it's been great fun. And you know, Jay-Z always bounces into the studio. He's always a barrel of energy when he comes in. He's just got an extra spring in his step today.
Look at him. Look at that face.
He just gets so excited. He just loves it.
He's glistening with sweat this morning.
When we have one of these special guests that we're going to speak to shortly, Jay-Z Clarko. Just loves it.
You mean?
Clarko, yeah.
It is a big week. I've had a big week and a strange interaction in the supermarket just the other day. Like, I know things are edgy in Melbourne, but I saw like half a fight break out in Coles below us here at South Melbourne. Like, these two guys sort of bumped into each other. They both weren't happy with each other. There was a guy who was stacking the shelves with a trolley, like putting the bread on the shelf, and he was like totally scared. And I jumped straight in behind him, hiding. I was cowering as this sort of brouhaha bust out in a bread aisle of a supermarket.
There's a lot going on down there. I saw there was a guy who was refusing to wear his mask the other day, Emma, and a guy chased him around with air freshener, spraying it at him around the aisles, going, "Do you like that, mate? Do you like
no.
that?" Oh, it was great.
Melbourne is an angsty joint at the moment. But we're here to be a safe place here at Dead Set Legends. And all week we've been chatting to champions of the game about their legendary untold grand final stories. So Stevie J, Nick Riewoldt, Sean Burgoyne, Daisy Thomas, some absolute champions of the AFL. And today, 2010 Premiership player, the winner of the Norm Smith medal that year, and Collingwood skipper Scott Pendlebury is with us. Good morning to you, Scott. Welcome to the show. Before we get into the footy, surely you're having a little bit of a rest at the moment, just, you know, not on the training track, just giving the body a bit of downtime.
I wish, but I broke my leg with four or five rounds to go. So I've just got back to running about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I've had to keep going into the club and rehab and make sure I'm all right for the start of next season, which in Victoria at the moment is actually pretty nice to get out of your house.
just any excuse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I feel like I'm winning. I feel like I've been granted a holiday.
Just tell the Dale. Alex, I'm off for a quick run, disappear for about 6 hours. Hey, Scotty, we're talking about big grand finals performances. You've been on the big dance so many times, 2010 twice, and 2011, of course, 2018 with the Dom Sheed goal. But can you tell us about the 2010 story? Of course, you pipped my great mate here, Joey, next to me in the replay, but there was a massive hiccup for you. When did you fall sick in the lead up to that 2010 first grand final?
Yeah, it was the morning of the game. I didn't realize what was sort of happening. I just woke up, tried to eat some brekkie, and I thought it was nerves. I'm not a nervous person, but I thought, oh, maybe, you know, for once I am actually pretty nervous about today's game. And yeah, you know, I ate about half a bowl of oats and then straight out the side door and threw them up. And just feeling a little bit off. But then I got to the game and thought, I'll be sweet here. Just got to get through one game and weighed in a little bit lighter than normal and things like that. But once we started and played and I sort of thought in my mind, get through 2 hours and it doesn't matter how my body feels after this because it's all on the line today. And then, we have a draw and I was quarantine away from the club for about 3 or 4 days after the games to make sure I could get my body weight back up to normal. And start feeling a bit better for what turned out to be a pretty memorable day for us in the replay.
He certainly felt better the next week. Pendles come out and dominated when won the Norm Smith medal. Hey, Scotty, when we look at your record, so you've had obviously played in a win, played in a draw, and you've played in a couple of grand final losses. What's the most vivid memory or what's the most clear memory you have that stands out from any of those grand finals? Is it the obvious and the win, or is there another part of those games that sort of stick in your mind the clearest?
Probably for me, obviously winning a grand final is what everyone wants to do, but and you could attest to this as well, Joey. I think it's the feeling after you win the prelim and you realise what the week is. I love everything about grand final week, the parade, the training. You know, how it's so rare, like both these sides this week will feel it. There's, you know, 25,000 people come to training. You know, it's crazy. So I just love the whole week and just the build up and the excitement and, you know, wherever you go. At the moment, you know, even in Victoria, there's, you know, Melbourne or Bulldogs playing all over the fences or window. So, yeah, I just enjoyed the process. You know, I've been lucky enough to go through three or four grand finals. So, yeah, I just really love that process of the week.
I'm very jealous to experience what to run out. Like, I always think how you guys feel when you run out, because I'm sitting up in the media box writing a story and I'm getting the goosebumps, etc. So God knows about the excitement you guys are feeling as you hear the roar, you know, with the packed MCG. Which, speaking to Nick Riewoldt this week, really interesting. He said he hadn't been able to watch the 09 replay, Scotty, until this week. You know, just so anxious and feeling so sick about the loss, etc. How do you go with the 2018 grand final? Are you able to watch it? Do you get the same emotion? Reaction, of course, because the Dom Sheed, you know, shot from the boundary is going to go down in history.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I've seen the Dom Sheed goal about 1,000 times. It's on every footy promo. So, yeah, it's probably, you know, 2011 and 18, like, they're ones that for us as a club, you're always going to feel like they got away from you. And I heard Azzy Treloar talk the other night saying, you know, it's going to live with him until the day he dies. And that's yeah, it's the same. Like, you're going to be disappointed you didn't get across the line and things like that. But yeah, in terms of like the day, and as you mentioned, like running out, it's all so much fun. And you know, you've got to put yourself out there to potentially get crushed for losing a grand final, because the reward of winning is so euphoric. So yeah, as I said, I'm happy that I've played in you know, four grand finals. I'd love to be a three-time premiership player, but I'm also, you know, equally pretty chuffed that I've been able to give myself three chances to win it. I've only got one, but I'd rather be 1-3 than, you know, 0-3 or whatever, because I've given myself a chance.
Hey, Scotty, just before we'll take a break and we'll get your thoughts on this grand final. What about grand final week, though, in regards to reunions? I know you boys obviously have the grand final reunion a bit flat. You haven't been able to catch up the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, we're a bit of a funny group, but we did our first reunion in 2011 after winning 2010. So.
Good.
Why not?
As everyone sort of knows, that group didn't mind having a bit of a party and a drink off field, and so they brought in their annual reunion. So we've missed the last 2 years, but we have got nine up our sleeves, so we're going all right.
One can only imagine what next year's reunion is going to be like for that group. Looking forward to the weekend, Scott. 2 days out. You said you weren't a nervous kind of guy, but looking into a grand final, what would be the feeling on the Thursday? Would it be excitement, or would it be more riddled with nervousness?
Yeah, it'd be both, I think. And the beauty of footy is there's different guys going through a range of emotions. You know, there's a fair few guys on the Bulldogs list who have played in a grand final, played in a win, so their memories are obviously pretty good. And you know, for Melbourne, there's a lot of players there who haven't played in one, or they've, I think Jake Lever's played in one and lost. So there's mixed emotions, but I reckon they'd be head down into their prep and making sure they're ticking anything off they need to get through before what seems to be, you know, going to be a pretty special game on Saturday night.
Hey, Scotty, you guys, the Magpies were one of the few teams to have beaten Melbourne this year. I think it was in Nathan Buckley's last game. What was it, up in Sydney? Tom Lynch played a great game on Max Gawn. Tell us, how do you beat the Demons? Or what do you think will be the deciding factor in this game? What would you, if you're coaching, what would you be preparing or really focusing on?
Yeah, it's a great question, and thanks for reminding me that we did beat the D's this year.
I was there that day. It was brilliant.
Yeah, one of the few, but I think for both sides, you know, their prelim final wins, you can see how quick they are to get the ball from the inside to the outside. And, you know, if you're the Dogs or even if you're Melbourne, you've got to be on high alert that ball doesn't, you know, Libba, you can't let him get first hands, flick it out. You can't let Bonampally get on the outside of you.
But it's almost the same thing. And that's why I think it's going to be such a good game, because you can say the same thing for Melbourne. You can't let Oliver get it, flick it out to Petrarca. You know, both sides had a lot of walkouts from stoppages against the respective sides in the prelim. So I think, you know, they both defend really well. So that battle in the middle of the ground and not giving up, you know, clearances that, you know, get a handball to the outside, they can take 50, 60 metres with a clearance. But their defences are too good. They'll lock the ball in and they'll give themselves repeat chances. So it's going to be a big midfield battle, and looking forward to how that unfolds.
As Pendles knows, it's won and lost in the midfield. It is the engine room. It's why they're the best players in the competition. All this talk about Brownlow medals and all that, it's because that's where the best players play. So, Scotty, as an opponent of both these sides, which midfield were you more concerned about coming up against? Is it the brilliance of Melbourne and their ruckman, or is it the depth and the spread of the Western Bulldogs? Which one would scare you more as an opponent with the way they've played this year?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, we got smacked by the Bulldogs round one. The thing that we probably found against them is once they get their hands on the footy, you don't get it back.
Yeah.
They're so quick with their hands. You know, it'll be 1, 2, 3 handballs, and before you know it, you know, Bailey Smith's got it running at goal, or Treloar or whatever it was. And we're Melbourne a bit more happy to take the contest. And on grand final day, I think the side that's probably a little bit more willing to go forward quicker, you know, buffer pressure, it probably suits. But they've just got, I feel like they're so evenly matched through that midfield that it will ebb and flow. You're not going to see games like the prelim where, you know, Bulldogs just dominated and Melbourne dominated. I think it's going to be who can take their momentum when they get it. And obviously there's always that one in grand finals is who can kick straight. So looking forward to it.
Speaking of Collingwood skipper and wine enthusiast, Scott Pendlebury, hey, we've spoken a lot about the Melbourne defence and Lever and May. How do you try, if you're the Bulldog side, if you're Luke Beveridge, how are you trying to pick apart that defence? Are you trying to hit up short leads? Are you trying to go through Jake Lever's man? Are you using handball? What do you think is the battle plan for the Bulldogs to try and combat that exceptional defence?
Yeah, well, I think they had a really good look against Port Adelaide with Aaliyah, who sort of plays a similar role to Lever, where, you know, they're just zoning off. And I think the key is for that forward line of the Bulldogs is to recognise, all right, we're out here as a midfield, let's hit up at the footy because I've got time and space, versus it's under pressure, a quick kick's going to go, I need to know where Lever is, I've got to bring the ball to ground. Because if you're doing silly leads as a forward, you know, when there's heat on the footy and the ball gets bombed, you know Lever's going to be there.
Yep.
So those guys just need to be really accountable, really smart. And if in doubt, you just stay attached to Lever's body, make it hard for him to get a clean run and jump.
And what's your tip, mate, for the big one? What do you give us a Norm Smith medalist and a tip and margin for the big one on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I think Norm Smith medal, I think either way the game goes, I think it's either going to be McRae or Oliver. They seem to slip under the guard. They shouldn't, but they do because of Petrarca and Bontempelli and so they're both rack up big numbers. They've done it against each other already this year. But I think Melbourne by about 13 points for me. I just think they've just played the better footy for longer. Their defence, I reckon, is a little bit tighter. That's my tip. But, it's flipping a coin. I really feel like it's going to be one of the all-time great grand finals.
And if you send a text just quickly, Scotty, to Adam Treloar, obviously it's been a really interesting 12 months for him. Have you sent him a text wishing him the best of luck?
Yeah, I did after the prelim, so it feels like a couple of weeks ago because it was.
Yeah,
but yeah, sent him a message after that game. I thought the way he played, you know, was fantastic that night, and he was obviously copying a little bit of heat from external, but he played really well. And yeah, just sent him a text, and you know, I hope he can go out there and get a medal because, you know, he's obviously part of our group in 2018, which was a pretty special group. So we've all kept in contact, and as I said, yeah, wish him nothing but the best on Saturday night.
Before we let you go, Pendles, one thing that we've been doing all week on this program is rediscovering our favourite childhood foods because, you know, our kids get to eat probably the better things in our households across the board.
Tiny teddies.
Tiny teddies for Jay-Z.
Fish fingers for Jelly.
Stringers for Daisy Thomas.
That's right.
Yeah, that was good. Anything in lockdown you've rediscovered with your two little ones?
Oh, we do a lot of cooking at home, so like muffins and, you know, banana cake, but it's pretty hard to go past when the tiny teddies come back out in the household. And you know, you had the choc chip and the chocolate, and it was nostalgic eating that. So yeah, probably that for me.
You're a good man. Thanks for joining us, Scott, and we look forward to seeing you back on track at the start of next year.
No worries, guys. I've really loved listening to you guys all week, 2 a.m. You're doing a ripping job.
Thank you, mate. Very
well,
kind.
That's some wonderful feedback, well isn't it? Thank you for the promo. We'll put that in the promo
for the next 5 years.
No worries.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, appreciate man. It.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition. Triple M. Joey, Jay-Z and Emma Friedman.
Do you prefer your pasta with the red or the white sauce?
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Triple M.
Now it had to happen. It was always going to happen that a couple of days out from the Grand Final, a truckie has driven into WA carrying the dreaded virus. And sent a few shockwaves around Perth and the AFL, Jay-Z. Now, what's the latest? Hopefully we're not headed for a lockdown out west.
Can you imagine the look of absolute terror and fright on Gillon McLachlan and Travis Old's faces when the text message come through and their worst fears realised we have an ill-timed case of COVID in Western Australia. Now, it is going to be an anxious, nervous 24 hours for AFL officials. There's absolutely no doubt about this. It was always the threat. If a late COVID case bobbed up in WA, would the government, the WA government, shut it down? Because that's what they've, or lock it down, because that's what they've done in the past. Now, as things stand, the AFL and the WA government is saying that the game, the big dance, will go ahead on Saturday. There is not significant concern around this truckie who entered Perth through regional WA, Southern Cross, Northam, and then ended up in Kewdale. Now, that Kewdale is like 5 minutes from the stadium. That is right in the guts of Perth. Oh. But there has been, you know, obviously a full check and analysis on their movements, on whether they were wearing masks, etc., at these truck stops. I think there's a Caltex in particular where they may have had a shower or something like that, where there is, you know, a deep clean going on. But the good news as things stand is that the game will go ahead. This isn't expected to explode around the exposure sites, and that hopefully this is snuffed out pretty quickly. But
just creating that little bit of drama that we needed in the lead up.
We hadn't had any, so we kind of needed something.
We'd said it'd been a little bit of a sort of boring lead up.
I just would have loved to have seen Gillon McLachlan's face when that text message would have come through, because it would have been a scary time for him. But good news, the big game should go ahead with a full crowd, which will be fantastic, Jay.
What about the latest with the Carlton situation? Yep. We're hearing that is coming to a head. This whole big saga might finally be over.
I believe it's D-Day today, to be honest. So Michael Voss and Adam, well, Michael Voss, we saw the vision, the camera, the pictures of him arriving in Melbourne airport. Yes, they had another discussion, a final discussion with the Carlton Chiefs, including Brian Cook, who's come on as new CEO. Adam Kingsley as well, firmly in the running for the senior position. We spoke about Matthew Scarlett, Andrew McWalter, potentially an assistant position on offering there. We'll wait and see. But at the moment, whilst it hasn't been confirmed or finalised, Michael Voss is the front runner, and that's who we are expecting to coach Carlton next year. So expecting some movement on that today. Whether the club wants to announce it 48 hours out from a grand final and have the press conferences either today or tomorrow, not sure. Might be something that's better from a PR perspective that's done on Monday or Tuesday post-grand final, or even Wednesday next week. So it's unclear when they are going to make that announcement, but certainly as things stand, we're expecting Michael Voss to be the coach of Carlton next year.
Can they let that linger, though? Because we've seen it with lots of other things. When there's, it was almost like the David Teague announcement that he wasn't going to coach next year. It's like they tried to do the right thing and let it play out, and it just backfired. So if they learn, and maybe they just quickly announce it as soon as they've made their decision rather than let leaks get out and try and hold off for another 4 or 5 days?
Could do, but is the subject going to get the attention and the excitement that it deserves sort of later today or tomorrow? I think it sort of then becomes secondary to the AFL Grand Final for very good reason. So it's perhaps something that they will hold off until next week. They need a coach, I think, to lead the football club into the trade period. It's such a significant period for every club. They want to get Adam Chera, which is an exciting development, George Hewitt. They're going to be a much better midfield next year. So I think they want Michael Voss in place before those discussions and announcements are made. So expecting Vossie at this stage to be the coach of Carlton next year.
And Robert Harvey going to go to the Hawks assistant coach, which is a great get.
I agree, because you speak to Nathan Buckley, he lauds Robert Harvey for his understanding and football acumen, his nitty gritty understanding of the game. So for Sam Mitchell, very new coach.
Some experience.
Yeah.
And a calm head too. Harves is, you know, really calm head.
So I think that's a great appointment. I think they're getting David Hale also across from Fremantle, which has been discussed. Brendan Bolton's gone to Collingwood. So the coaching merry-go-round has started. It's going to be interesting to see what Alistair Clarkson does in 12 months' time.
Now, on Saturday afternoon on Fox Footy, well, this is going to be a program to save you. They've done the longest kick, and Joey, being the superstar he is at Fox Footy, is part of it. Now, you've already filmed it, so don't give away too much, but we do want just a little bit of insight as to how you went and how some of your colleagues went as well.
Yeah, I won't give away too much, but of course, with the COVID restrictions, we couldn't get many players to participate. So all the talent at Fox Footy, it'll be on from about 3 p.m. on Saturday on Fox Footy. It should be a lot of fun because we're broken up into teams. Jack Riewoldt was the captain of one side. Eddie Betts was the captain of the other. I was on Eddie Betts' team, which I was really keen about. And we went and did a longest kick competition. And let's just say you're going to get a mixed bag. There's a player, an absolute superstar of the game, who literally stubs his toe trying to go for longest kick competition. We have another multiple premiership player who gets out-kicked by both Chloe Malloy and Ali Blackburn, the AFLW wow. players that are in it. It comes down to the final kick of the day. I went up against my great mate, Nick Del Santo. I won't give away who won that one, but you know how the grand final sprint wasn't really my thing? Oh. Neither's probably the longest kick competition. But neither's the longest kick competition, to be honest.
Did you go the drop punt or the torp?
No. Yeah, look. You had to go the torp, I think, because half the fun was if you shanked it, it's a lot of fun. If you nailed it, well, you look good. There was only one player. Who do you think was really nervous about making sure they got one that they just hadn't thought about kicking a drop punt just to at least get a good score out there?
David King.
No, our great mate Rui. Yeah. The most competitive Rui. He come up and whispered to me and said, I think I should just do a drop punt just so. And I said, no, Rui, you can't. If you shank both your torps, that's more fun than actually just kicking one 50 metres a drop punt. So it was a good bit of fun. That I really enjoyed filming it, and that'll be on about 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. So tune in, but let's just say I'm not sure I did the Dead Set Legends family overly proud, that's okay.
Did someone do their hamstring as well, I heard?
We've had a few tight hamstrings.
Get on to the physio before that blows up. Well, this is a real treat for us. Someone that everyone wants to talk to in the lead up to a grand final. Four premierships to his name. Coach Alistair Clarkson joins us on the program. Alistair, we are thrilled to be able to have you on the show this morning. But as a coach on a break from the game for now, can you relax a little bit and enjoy this weekend more than you have in a long time?
Yeah, probably. I'm enjoying the fact that I don't have to be going at 100 miles an hour at the minute. The funny part about our game is that if you're going to be a senior coach, you need to be going flat stick, and I've been doing that for 17 years. So, Carlton and Collingwood were both really big clubs when I was a kid growing up, and I couldn't think of two better clubs to want to coach next time round if I did end up doing that. But the timing just wasn't right for me. You know, I've been going at it flat out for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to the next 12 months and just operating in second or third gear rather than overdrive, and just seeing where it takes me beyond the end of next year.
So, Clarko, be honest, though. Have you actually completely switched off from football or are you still sort of watching some games and just having a look around, or have you actually gone, no, I'm just getting away from it for a while?
No, I've just got such a passion for the game, Joey, that I still love watching it and seeing how it all unfolds. I'm intrigued with this week's contest. It's so hard to pick a winner, One minute I'm thinking Melbourne are going to win. I think they've got the better balance side across the ground. But then I just love the Bulldog spirit and, you know, the way they're coached. You know, Bevo did a marvellous job against Port Adelaide, you know, especially the Alier matchup. And so it's just going to be intriguing, a couple of battles within the game. So I still love the game and follow it. And I'm hoping over the next 12 months that I can, you know, give something back to the game in a different sort of capacity than Clubland. You know, I've just got so much from the game as a player and a coach over the last 35 years. And, this is the first time for the next 12 months that I'll have an opportunity to just work outside of Clubland but still do something for the game somehow. Now, I'm not sure what shape that will take over the next 12 months. I want to do a bit of study and go overseas if I can get there, but it's a bit difficult with Corona at the minute. But, the next 12 months, give something back to the game and then see where it takes me beyond that in 2023.
Clark, I'm sure Gil McLaughlin will pick up the phone if he hasn't already. Hey, something you said 18 months ago has really stuck with me and I reckon has shaped the conversation around the game since then. You said no bugger can score in the game. That was in March 2018, months ago. The AFL introduced the stand rule to try and free up the game, bring more breath into the game, as Joey has said this week. Do you feel like things have improved since you said that?
Yeah, well, I don't think it was I was the catalyst for it, but I like the idea of, you know, I reckon for the first time this year, I mean, the Mark of the Year contenders, you know, and there was, they came down to, you know, Tim O'Brien, Jack Riewoldt, which was a ripping mark, I might add, and obviously Shai Bolton, but there was probably five or six others or more. You know, nearly every week there was two or three great marks being taken. I'm not sure if it was the rule changes, but I love the high mark is a great feature of our game. And so is tackling. And so I'm keen for tackling to be rewarded more in the game because it's a great, that is the physicality. The bump has had to go out for various reasons. We understand that, the concussion and the severity of injury, but the tackle is a great feature of our game and so is the high mark. And I'm just loving the fact that the high marks come back into the game. I think it's a little bit to do with the rule change, but more to do with coaching, where coaches have said, listen, let's stop buggerising around with the ball in the back half, just kicking short, and let's be prepared to kick longer to a contest. And obviously once the ball is in flight more, you know, players can set up and have a decent crack at jumping at the footy. And I reckon that's a beautiful feature of our game and has been for over 100 years. And that has come back into vogue in the last 12 months. And I think it's a little bit to do with rule change, but it's probably more to do with coaching, just saying, listen, if we want to score more, we've got to go more direct.
I thought you guys were ruining the game, Clarko. Wasn't that the chat? The coaches are killing the game? You're helping the game.
Yeah. Well, I think coaches might have helped fix it up in the last 12 months. Yeah. I think footy's been, you know, I was really concerned. I wasn't sure whether it was the hub or the shortened games or what it was, but I was concerned with the direction the game was going in 2020. But 2021, you know, I've been pleased, especially seeing those high marks come back in the game. Mm. And if we can couple that with rewarding, you know, really, really good strong tackles, then, you know, it's not about every tackle being rewarded with an infringement free kick, but it's just making sure the balance of, you know, maybe 15 to 20% of tackles being rewarded rather than just 5% as it currently is.
Yeah, I think we've had a cracking season of footy. It'll be a cracking grand final. Hey, Clarko, all week this week on Dead Set Legends, we've had a heap of premiership stars and guests on the show, and all of them have just been able to tell us a bit of an untold or a little known story about grand final week. You've been involved in five as a coach. Is there a sort of story that hasn't really been out there in the mainstream that you can tell us about that's been interesting?
Yeah, well, probably the story that hasn't been told is the Cyril Rioli story leading into 2014. He hurt a hamstring, like one of those tendon hamstrings. So it wasn't just a normal strain. And, you know, those tendon ones require, some of them require surgery, but usually they're a 12 to 14 week injury. So when Cyril hurt his hamstring, I think it was against Sydney up in out at Olympic Stadium there. And that was we knew straight away in the aftermath of the scanning that, you know, this, he's going to be really cutting it fine to return. And a lot of the Aboriginal boys don't like a finish line when it comes to running. You put a footy in front of them, they'll run all day. But if you put a finishing line there, they're not too keen on the running. And Cyril was one of those. And, you know, we're doing the striding programs and all that sort of stuff that were just such a stringent part of their protocol to return from a hammy. But all those striding programs had a finish line. Anyway, right on the eve of the finals, Cyril didn't take the necessary steps that he needed to, and he fell back into a hole where I don't think he hurt it again as much as he just didn't have any confidence at all. And so he more or less gave up. And, you know, once he'd given up, the medical staff weren't so sure either. And I said, listen, we've got to give this one more go. Let's not worry about a finish line. Let's just put the Tommy Sheridan in front of him. Let's just slowly integrate him. Let's slowly integrate him back into skills. And sure enough, by three weeks later, he played his first game in a VFL grand final, would you believe, for Box Hill. And at the old Etihad Stadium, now Marvel. And then he played the next week in the grand final, which was his first senior AFL game for about 14 or 15 weeks. And we just threw him straight into the middle.
Yep.
Getting close to that Tommy Sheridan as we caught in the first part of the game. And listen, he did some marvellous things. He terrorised Kurt Tippett that night or that day. And but it was a story untold, you know. about how difficult his recovery was from that injury, and how it nearly didn't come about at all, because, you know, right on the eve of the finals, he had a bit of a setback.
We're speaking to Hawthorn Premiership mastermind Alistair Clarkson. I could listen to that sort of stuff all day. Another one which I don't ever really think's been fleshed out, Clarko, is how you got Luke Beveridge out of a government crime fighting agency in 2011 to join you at Hawthorn. So he was a Premiership assistant at Collingwood in 2011. Then he leaves coaching and joins a government agency basically to combat fraud and various sort of drug activity. He's never really told this story properly. I was asking him one day about it. I said, how did you go from coaching to crime fighting to Hawthorn? And he looked at me and said one word.
Clarko.
He said, so how did you do it, mate? Here he is crime fighting for the country. And then he said, nah, mate, you belong in the coach's box.
Well, that one word, he said Clarkson. I've got one word for Beveridge, and that's superannuation. those public agencies, they pay really, really good super funds. And Bevo, I reckon, was on a good wicket. And he said, if I don't go back to the public service, I'm going to lose some of my super benefits. So he snuck back in there for 12 months, and then I was able to lure him out, because he just, listen, he couldn't get himself away from the liniment. You know, he'd had a great time at Collingwood and helped them win a flag in 2010, and then we enticed him out and
well done.
To help us at the Hawks. But he was great. Isn't it amazing, sliding doors? You know, he finished up his time at Hawthorn and wasn't sure he was going to get a senior opportunity. So he actually took a job at St Kilda to be like their director of coaching, and maybe that was going to push into recruiting and footy management. And, you know, Bulldogs parted company with Brendan McCartney, and they went chasing Bevo, and, gee, he's done a marvellous job. Jeez, it's so exciting to see what's happened to the old foot of slay side.
The rest is history.
They've become a real power of the competition now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Alistair, we love your work that you're doing with 36 Short, which produce some delicious gin and vodkas, I hear. I was on the website last night just sussing it out, thinking what I might order.
It's up our alley.
And this weekend, it's right up our alley.
Right up our alley on
the show.
It's
a show of alcoholics. So. But this weekend, when you buy any 36 Short gin, vodka, or other product from the website, which is 36short.com.au, you go into the draw to be one of 20 lucky winners who will receive an exclusive grand final debrief.
What?
On Zoom with yourself and Damien Hardwick. So winners will be notified on Monday morning, and the Zoom will take place that night, 5 o'clock Melbourne time. What an outstanding prize. People will be clamouring for this.
I'm going to buy a couple of bottles myself so I can go into the draw. these are great friends of mine. My wife and I got to meet this this family, the Lulises. They're a Macedonian family, and they were so helpful to us as a family when we were in Adelaide for 4 years. We knew very few people when we went across there, and they were just a great family. And the father was a guy called Pando. He had two brothers, and he left Macedonia in the 1950s and came out to the Promised Land. You know, Europe was so depressed post the Second World War, so a lot of migrants came to Australia for the promise of a better life. And the three Lulius brothers, you know, landed at the Market Garden area of West Adelaide, and then moved up to Virginia to farm some land up there and grow some tomatoes. And Pando, the old man, he had this great passion for home brews, you know, whether it was gin or whiskey or vodka. And they finally grew their vegetable business to a point where they could get this license to distill gin. And so just at the point where they were just about to get the license, Pando unfortunately died suddenly. So the two sons, John and Con, who were mates of mine, really good mates of mine, they, as a legacy to their father, they decided that the others could look after the vegetable growing business, and they'd go full-time into distilling this gin and then selling it on the market. And they're very, very good at the distilling side of things. Not so good. They're so humble as a family. They just don't push themselves out there. So I said, well, I'll try and do my little bit for you boys. I'll try and promote it a little bit for you and see if we can get some sales. So they're a great family, and it's just a really, really heartwarming story the way it's all evolved.
Beautiful. It is, and it looks like a great product as well. So you've got a new customer in me, and don't worry, Jay-Z, he's a king of gin.
A bit of lemon, bit of grapefruit juice.
Put a bit of pink grapefruit juice it's cordial. Tonic water, lots of ice, and just a nice little healthy slab of gin. And it's a very, very refreshing drink. I mean, it's for both males and females, but particularly the women for a refreshing spring carnival drink. Get on board. It's a ripper.
You've sold me for one on Saturday night when I'm watching the grand final
later this afternoon.
I'm salivating. Hey, before we go, Clarko, quickly, a tip for the weekend and who's going to win the Norm Smith?
Yeah, well, I spent a couple of years in the latter stages of my career, playing career at the Demons. So, they've had so much hardship. You know, really sadly that some of that hardship has resulted in, really, really good people and young people dying prematurely. So it'd be great for the Melbourne club. They haven't won a flag for 57 years. So, my heart's certainly going with the Demons, but geez, I was just so impressed with Bevo and the Dogs, the way they've gone about it. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Dogs knock them off, but I'm hoping to see. It's just great driving around the southeastern suburbs and the amount of people that have painted their fences red and blue.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same out in the west with the support that they've got out there, but I'd really like to see the Demons get up, and I think they've got the group of players that can win it. They've got a real discipline about the way they've gone about it in 2021, and I think they're primed to play really well.
Alistair, we really appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, what a
and,
treat.
We've got that website. It's 36short.com.au. Go get yourself a bottle of gin, vodka, or another product to go into that draw for that sensational prize. Enjoy grand final weekend.
Good. I was just going to say, my Normie Smith, if he plays anything like he did in the third quarter, then Maxi Dillon's got the Norm Smith wrapped up. But, thanks for your time this morning, guys. Cheers.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition. Triple M. Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, and Emma Friedman.
You go, well, when that's your biggest problem, is that? Oh,
I know.
I've got
to watch too much footy. How good is it? Oh, damn.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Melbourne's 105.1 Triple M.
You boys have put a lot of homework into this break. I like it, the preparation. We're going to take a look at your favourite grand final moments from the modern era, the top 10 grand final moments from the last 20, 30 years that you really stick in your minds.
Yeah, Joey and I have been looking forward to this. Now, reputations are made on the biggest stage. That's when you come to the fore. So we've loved being able to look back on the last 20, 30 years to pick out some of our favourite grand final moments. Like, what were the moments that gave you goosebumps?
Folklore.
In the premiership decider. And, well, this was not only one of the greatest grand final moments, but this first one also happened to be one of the great grand final calls. Let's have a listen to this decisive moment in the 2006 premiership decider when Tom Boyd went bang.
Buddy tackle by Mullis. Oh! Dropping the ball. Boyd took the advantage and played on from inside the centre square. Boyd kicked a goal. Boyd kicked a goal. From inside the centre, I can't believe that. Boyd has kicked the goal from inside the centre square.
He's got the magic.
It's still one of the greatest ever calls in a grand
all time.
Did BT get in trouble? Like, is that allowed? I'm just wondering, as a caller, if I dropped the F bomb, would I be okay with that? Probably
not. We couldn't run in delay because the game's live, so we don't run in delay when the game is on. So Luke Tunnicliffe, who was producing at the time, I was back here, he said, and I went, nope, that went to air. And the thing I love the most about that, because I find it funny, is that it's, you know how you get the DVD and it has each call that you can option to listen to? So it's in that.
Yeah.
Have they not beeped it out? That is outstanding. Yep. I love it.
And that's definitely the call you'd be listening to. But Tom Boyd, what a story.
Goosebump moment.
Yeah, the story about the pay card. I mean, he was out of the team and then he just delivers so emphatically in the second half for the Bulldogs' drought-breaking premiership win. Now, this one, I love it. It wasn't much of a grand final, the 2017 grand final. Let's be honest, probably up
2019.
2019, of course, was Richmond beating
Giants,
the Giants. Yeah. Now, as I said, up there with probably 2007, Geelong's big win over Port Adelaide. Yeah, weren't amazing grand finals. But the performance that Marlon Pickett, like in terms of a grand final story, yeah. It was come in for his first game, his AFL debut, bathed in sunshine, the MCG. Remember that little twirl he did in the middle of the ground? That blind turn. That all goes down into folklore. But how good was this moment when Dustin Martin, instead of going for goal, looked for his mate Marlon Pickett and that set shot from about 30 metres out?
Dusty wants to go the squaring ball to Marlon Pickett. What about the day this bloke's having? Marlon Pickett on debut in a grand final to kick a goal. Bang! Let him get around him! They come from everywhere!
Jeez.
Marlon Pickett, one of the great footy stories ever, has kicked a goal in the grand final.
And it's all good and well in hindsight to say, like, playing, making your debut in a grand final. But what about the courage going back to time to Damien Hardwick to actually pick someone for their first ever game in a grand final? Like, if it didn't work out the way it did, how different it could be. But because they won comfortably and he was able to hit the scoreboard, we all look at it and go, that's folklore. But, geez, it was courageous by Damien Hardwick.
At halftime, he was in the Norm Smith sort of calculations. Yes. And Dustin Martin, completely selfless, knew the story, saw the pass, could have kicked that goal. It was absolutely fantastic. Now, this one, back in 2012, it was Hawthorn versus Sydney. And what about the absolute foot race between two of the quickest players we've seen over the past 20 years, Lewis Jetta and Cyril Rioli, and a fantastic call from Channel 7's Dennis Committee.
This is interesting. It's a main event in any stadium in the world. Jetta pursued by Rioli. Rioli can't go with him. Jetta wins the gold medal.
It was Bolton Blake all over again, wasn't it?
And Bruce with a little cameo there. You can picture that one, can't you? Out on the southern stand side of the MCG, two absolute beauties, Cyril Rioli and Lewis Jetta. Just an absolute foot race on the MCG grand final day. That sticks in my mind.
They were the two players you wanted in exactly that moment, wasn't it? Because they were absolutely lightning. Now, let's wind back the clock. This is one of the most famous grand finals of all time. Geelong versus Hawthorn. Remember, it was it had everything this game. Of course, Gary Ablett Sr. turned on one of the most masterful and brilliant grand final performances with 9 goals. Let's take a listen to Gazza Weavy's magic on the big dance.
So Ablett comes in from beyond 50. City end kicks the goal.
Where's Ablett?
Here he is.
Ablett! Absolutely magnificent one-handed punt. Ball in. Where's Ablett? Takes possession. The snap is good. Through comes Lindner. Long ball. Looking for Ablett. One hand couldn't take it.
Look at him.
Front and centre though. And there we are.
Ablett comes in for goal number 9 and to keep the Cats in the hunt.
They're in it, Brian.
He's got it.
Gee, they've been calling for a long time, those boys. I didn't know they'd been calling for that long.
And Bill watching himself play. That was incredible. What a time machine.
Of course, that was JB and Bill's recall of the famous 89 grand final, but still one of the classic games, best games I've ever seen. And this one, well, we spoke to the Collingwood superstar, Scotty Pendlebury, about the 2018 grand final. It was a brilliant game. One of the best grand finals, really, the past 20, 30 years. And the Pies, they look like this. They had this one. What was it, a 20, 30-point lead at quarter time? Jordan DeGoey was kicking goals. But then West Coast, with that second half, broke Collingwood fans' hearts. And how could you forget it? West Coast, Dom Sheed, from the pocket, the MCG boundary line, delivered this.
Sheed's got it. Jeez, this is a tough kick. He is hemmed in the pocket. We've got 2 minutes left in the grand final. What can he do from this pocket? Set shot, left footer. It is good. That is incredible. That is unbelievable.
That's clutch, isn't it?
Isn't it? And the vision of that angle from behind the goals with the kick and the Collingwood fans in his ear lipping was amazing. That was one of the greats of the last 20, 30 years.
Terrific stuff, boys. And on Saturday, let's take a look at some of the other top moments, maybe 5 more, Jay-Z.
What could be left?
There's some big ones.
Some good ones.
Jay-Z, there's always a heartache story when it comes to a grand final. It looks like there's one in 2021 as well.
Yeah, Bulldogs going to make a couple of changes. We've been speaking about this all week. We expect Cody Waitman to come in, perhaps for Anthony Scott. We touched on that yesterday. And also the conundrum on the defensive end, because Alex Keith, who's been out of the team, is a huge boost for the Bulldogs. His form in this back half of the season has been really important in getting the Dogs premiership bit on track. So he's a huge in. So the question for Luke Beveridge and his coaching staff, who do they leave out? Zane Cordy, who's probably more of a 30-ish defender who comes in, and Ryan Gardner. Now, the teams, of course, will be released later tonight, and there is a report that from Fox Footy's Tom Morris that it will be Ryan Gardner, in fact, who will be dropped, and Zane Cordy will remain in the team. Now, we were thinking...
Other way around, I probably thought
that it would go the other way around, but maybe so. It's a bit more like for like in terms of Gardner and Keith being a similar sort of a player. Does this surprise you, Joey?
A little bit, but now maybe thinking about it, Cordy's probably got the flexibility to play on a few different types of players. You know, he could potentially play on Fritsch. He could potentially play on a tall Tom McDonald as well. So maybe that's just he just gives that a little bit more flexibility with Alex Keith taking whoever they choose for him to play on, which maybe is probably going to be Ben Brown now, and allow Cordy to pick up the second or third talls, and he can mix and match a little bit.
Some coaching news. Damien Carroll has joined St Kilda in a chief development position from Collingwood. This is interesting because St Kilda are going to zig in their list direction here. So they know they've been really trade heavy the past couple of years, Joey and M. This year, they're going to really hit the draft and get some youth in and just change tack a little bit. So with Damien Carroll there, really bolster their development program. Joe, do you like that one?
Yeah, I do. I think St Kilda's just another 12, 18, 24 months away from being a real, you know, sort of top four contender, which is what we say you need to be to win a flag. I don't mind it. I still think they've got huge upside, St Kilda, and they're still young enough to just be a little bit patient and allow a bit more time for Hunter Clark and Gresham and Max King to develop into superstars that can elevate them to a top four team.
They in your top eight for next year?
You know what? I think they'll be close. I haven't done it yet, but I reckon they absolutely will be, yep.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark and Emma Friedman.
You're going well when that's your biggest problem, isn't it?
Oh, I know.
I've got to
watch too much footy. How good is it? Yes. Oh, damn.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Grand Final Week Edition.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Melbourne's 105.1 Triple M.
The Lord Mayor of Perth, the host of Triple M Breakfast in Perth and part of the coverage for Channel 7 throughout the footy season as well. Is there anything Basil Zemplis can't do? He's been kind enough to stick around after his show this morning to give us a feel as to what Perth is like at the moment. We're all desperately missing the festivities of Grand Final Week. Welcome to the show, Baz. How's it feeling out west?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Look, it feels, to be perfectly honest, it feels like Melbourne feels in Grand Final Week in normal circumstances. And I think one of the things that Perth's been able to throw at it is that absolute AFL feel and understanding. And many West Aussies have been over to watch West Coast or Fremantle be involved in the Grand Final. They know what it's about, or they've been to neutral grand finals and been part of the parade, been part of the build-up. So in many ways, it feels like a Grand Final Week. And I tell you what, I mean, if 50 or 100 years ago somebody said, the weather or footy god said, you're going to get one crack at the Grand Final, what weather would you like on that day? You would have said, could we have 27 degrees and fine? And can you believe it? That's the forecast for Perfect. Saturday Grand Final day. So it's absolutely bang on over here.
Unsurprising too. Look, it's a spectacular stadium. I think it's going to come up on TV incredibly. I mean, I thought Perth should have been where we played the Grand Final last year, to be honest. But it's got its opportunity this weekend, and I just absolutely can't wait for it. Now, off the top of the show, Basil, we talked about the COVID scare over there with the New South Wales Chucky coming in, of course, and a level of contentness that it won't blow up and be a big issue and derail the premiership decider on Saturday. Is there any new updates over the last hour on that? Do we think this is going to be contained?
No, we're all good on that one. And to be honest, I think we've come so far, even a minor little spot fire at this late stage, I think, would be kind of contained. I don't think there's any risk of the grand final now not going ahead. We are in very good shape over here, and we're very lucky, and I say this sincerely. We know that we get this opportunity because of how difficult things are in Melbourne at the moment and how tough it's been. And so we do it respectfully, and we do it with, to be honest, honour and pride that we get our chance. And and many West Australians, thinking of their Melburnian friends and cousins and Victorian you know, fellow footy supporters, because we know we're getting our shot because you're missing out. And it's a big opportunity for us. We're going to do it well. We're going to do it respectfully, but we're going to put on a good show for you all to enjoy.
Oh, that's a certainty. You'll put on an absolute great show. What about the crowd and the supporters over there, Baz? What, can you give us a bit of a feel for how many Melbourne supporters, Bulldog, are there a lot? Are there not many? And what are we expecting on the day with the crowd there?
Now, I reckon it's 50-50. Maybe ever so slightly the D's way because of the history and how long it's been, the premiership drought. I think in some ways too, the fact that there is no Fremantle or West Coast probably makes this spectacle even greater. That has its own complications if one of your own teams is in the grand final. But this is a pure neutrals affair. Everybody's embraced it. There'll be a heap of red and blue, obviously red, blue and white for one and red, blue for the other. So that's perfect in its own way. It'll feel and look and taste and smell every bit like an AFL grand final. And the start time, 5:15 locally, 7:15 in your neck of the woods is perfect because the stadium gets to show off all of its tricks. And those lighting tricks at halftime, post-game and even pre, they'll look really, really special. So it's all go over here. We can't wait.
Can't wait for it, Basil. I think the big question is, what's the best bit about being the Lord Mayor of Perth? Because you're a real big dog over there now.
Do you get a cape?
No cape. I get a pin. I get Xavier Ellis calling me Lord Flog every morning on the breakfast show.
Do you get good seats at a grand final at least?
Well, I do get good seats at the grand final. So that is a bonus. Look, what a time, really, to be perfectly honest. I mean, who would have thought you could be Lord Mayor of your city in the year that it hosts the grand final and you don't live in Melbourne? I mean, it's remarkable, and to be involved in the broadcast as well. So, look, we've had a lot of luck over here. We know we've had a bit of luck. We're going to make it a special day for everybody, not just in Perth, but right around the country on Saturday. It's a great privilege to be able to host the AFL Grand Final.
You get the Grand Final and a special pen. Joey and I can't even get a haircut over here.
I know. We're all going grey. We need the packet dye. Hey, Basil, before we let you go, we know you're part of the broadcast, so you have to remain somewhat impartial, but who wins, what's the margin, and who's got the Norm Smith?
Look, with all of my hats on, I'm not calling the game, but I'm certainly involved in the broadcast. So JB or BT get the honour of the last line, Bruce style, for many, many years. But I love the fantasy, if you like, of Melbourne win in Perth. That's just a line that kind of sums it all up. It sums up the era, the age, what we've lived through, where the game will be and who will have broken their premiership drought. So only for that reason, I'd love Melbourne to win an absolute thriller. I'd love to see a one-point ball game.
Oh, wouldn't it just?
And I'd really like Christian Petrarca to win the Norm Smith, only because I've interviewed him a couple of times over the last month, and he seems like an absolutely ripping fella. So I reckon he'd be a worthy winner.
He can't wipe the grin off his face, can he, Christian Petrarca?
He's a like beauty, isn't he? He reminds me actually of Daniel Ricciardo. He's a bit like our Daniel Ricciardo. They've got a very similar grin on their face the whole time.
Yep.
Happy chappies they are, as are we, leading into the grand final. Basil, we really appreciate your time this morning and good luck on the weekend.
Good on you, Dead Set Legends. Enjoy the grand final wherever you're watching or listening to it on Triple M, and we'll make sure we put on a great show for you. All the best, guys.
On your best.
There is no doubt about that at all.
This is where legends are made. This is where hearts are broken.
That is incredible.
Amazing. What about that?
That is the most amazing thing I've seen.
Can you believe it?
You can't believe it.
You are a bloody legend.
It's Triple M's.
Wait for it.
Dead Set Legend of the Day.
Wow.
That's better by DC. Like that. Awesome. Finally. Took till Thursday. We've got a beauty. Well done, DC. But I'm handing this one over to you, Jay-Z. Dead Set Legend of the Day. You've got some massive news that's just come through.
Yeah, it is big breaking news, as we've really been talking about all week. Michael Voss, the Brisbane champion midfielder and former Lions senior coach, will be the new coach of the Carlton Football Club. So he ran second to David Teague back in 2019. He was disappointed about that, but the Blues have turned back to that gun on baller and Brownlow medalist to really take charge of this talented Carlton list. He'll be their 35th senior coach. It's a 3-year deal. Joey, it's going to be interesting to see how next season starts. The pressure is going to be on.
Straight on from round one.
The club has already said they want to be playing finals next year, so Vossy faces a huge summer preparing this team, a talented team, to get the Blues back into the eight. But Michael Voss has beaten Adam Kingsley for the Carlton senior coaching job.
We've had a lot of the special guests. We've got a lot of people's takes on who's going to win the grand final, who's going to be the Norm Smith medalist. Jay-Z, put your expert hat on.
Yep.
Who's going to win it and why, and who's going to take home the Norm Smith? What's going to be the big story on Sunday morning?
Oh, I think it's the Melbourne fairy tale. I mean, 57 years, Simon Goodwin, Melbourne Football Club, been through such a tough decade, and 2 years out of the eight. I mean, they're under so much pressure. They delivered by playing selfless football, Joe. Remember, the whole the strategy, the focus for the Demons this year were to be good teammates, and they play with intense pressure. They locked the ball forward, and that defence Lever and May for me would be the bedrock of this premiership. And I think I can't wait to see the Melbourne fans with their brie and their vintage cheddar. They're going to be absolutely raptured, Joey, in the, with the drought-breaking premiership. So it's the D's for me and maybe Christian Salem for the Norm Smith.
Ooh, I like that.
I tell you what, you know I've been on Melbourne all year. I've been their biggest fan right from round four. They've been the best team all year, but I don't know what's coming over me. But as these 2 weeks are going on, I'm starting to get cold feet.
Really?
Well, everybody that I've listened to has tipped Melbourne. Everybody has said Melbourne's going to win.
You've been their biggest fan.
I have been their biggest fan, but I know what happens on grand final day. And the best team all year doesn't necessarily win the premiership. I'm worried about the one game in 28 days. I'm worried about the Bulldogs and Luke Beveridge and what he's going to come up with as a masterstroke. I'm starting to get nervous that the Western Bulldogs can win this and cause a massive upset. And the story will be the D's heartbreak and how this was their, you know, this was a year where it was all set up for them, all made for them. And at the final hurdle, for whatever reason, they just didn't play their best game that they've played all year. I'm starting to feel that way. Now, my head still says Melbourne are the best team all year. And if they just play like they have for nearly the whole year, they will win. But I know what happens in grand final day. It'll come down, like Pendle said at the start of the show, to conversion. It might be a contest or a free kick or a moment here and there. I'm starting to get nervous the Dogs can win this.
So where do the Dogs win it? Where do they hold sway in the big game? Where's the decisive edge for the Bulldogs?
It'll be taking their opportunities. Grand final, both teams will have momentums at some stage. When two good teams play each other, you have your momentum swings. Melbourne, maybe, you know, the conversion, is that going to be an issue? It's been a question mark at times this year. The Bulldogs, they might just be able to finish off better. You know, a bit of class, a bit of efficiency. You know, someone like a Jack McRae could win a Norm Smith medal and no longer is he the quiet achiever. Mm. No longer is he, you know, the Batman or the Robin to Scott to Marcus Bontempelli as Batman. I just think this will be a lot closer than maybe some people have thought.
Emma, I can't believe this man has been shoving the demons down my throat every week for the whole season now, and it gets to the final hurdle, the big dance.
I'm starting to get nervous.
And he changes his tune. That's extreme.
I know. But I think I'm with him. I want Melbourne to win. They are the best team, but I just know what happens on grand final day.
Rosie, a quick tip from you. Melbourne.
Hopefully.
All right. I've got to say, I think I'm with Joey. I'm starting to feel that it's the Doggies Day on Saturday, and I'm going to have Adam Treloar for a bit of a big redemption story.
How good's that?
Smith. That would be one to savour. As I said, we are back on air on Saturday, 10 to 12. A preview of the grand final starting at 7 o'clock that night. For all your grand final stuff, tune in on Saturday to 105.1 Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
The team at Bunnings Trade can help you tackle any job because helping business is their trade.
Joey, Jay and Emma are back Saturday morning from 10 for a huge grand final edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
You have a great day.